today on Real Radio.
Probably safe to say that in the last 2,000 years, as many people have been saved, there'll probably be more people saved during the tribulation period than what have been saved in the last 2,000 years. Think of that. It's going to be absolutely awesome.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called A Day You Will Want to Miss, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, Isaiah prophesied from 739 BC to 681 BC to a nation that had turned a deaf ear to the Lord. So through Isaiah, God had to warn Israel of the coming judgment in the hope that his chosen people would return to him. The book of Isaiah also provides us with a full scope into the life of Jesus Christ, his virgin birth, his sacrificial death, and his glorious return. In Isaiah chapter 33, we saw how Isaiah's prophecy against the Assyrian Empire comes to pass, but not before God uses them to fight against Judah. Isaiah cried out to the Lord to be gracious to Judah, even though they'd forgotten about God and looked elsewhere for help. It's only when we turn away from the Lord that he will use our enemies, or whatever means necessary, to bring us back. We often don't realize that it's his goodness and his love that protects us. Now in Isaiah chapter 34, we'll see a shift in the structure of Isaiah. Isaiah sees into the future at a very small segment of time called the tribulation period. So today, Pastor Jack tells us that during the tribulation period, man can no longer govern themselves. God's plan is to literally save man from himself. The purpose for the seven-year tribulation period, however, is to turn the eyes of the Jews back to their Messiah. Many will be saved during this time, but those nations who fought against God's word and God's people will be punished. And now in his lesson called A Day You Will Want to Miss, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
We just ask you, Lord, now tonight that you would bless the going forth of your word. And Father, that though we're in a difficult chapter, it is an awesome chapter because though we pick up a book here in Isaiah 34, so many thousands of years ago, looking into the future, collectively some 3,000-year period of time, and how awesome it is that though it's in black and white, in the pages of our Bible in our lap, Lord, we're looking at what you have penned regarding what's coming. So, Father, we just commit this time into your hands now. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Will you guys turn to Isaiah chapter 34, and it is a powerful chapter. And from this chapter, chapter 34, next time, chapter 35 is a messianic chapter regarding the ministry identification of the Messiah. Chapter 35, next week together, how would you identify the Messiah if he should show up? Isaiah 35, next week, will tell us about that. Tonight, we're looking at a shift in the structure of the book of Isaiah. We come now to what is really a closing portion of what you've been hearing so much about the judgments of God. Chapter 34 is a little bit different, and I think you'll recognize it tonight, and you'll be very much, I think, aware of why the book of Isaiah or the prophet Isaiah is known as the evangelical prophet, because there are more New Testament messianic promises regarding the Messiah. In other words, Isaiah is more New Testament than any other Old Testament book. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John cite Isaiah more than any other prophet. And tonight you're going to see how Isaiah, by God's gifting and his call to be a prophet, saw into the future, and not only into the future, but into a very small segment of time regarding the tribulation period. Tonight's message is entitled, A Day You Will Want to Miss. This is a day, this is a time that you will want to miss. There's no way that you as a believer would want to be involved in what Isaiah 34 is about. And for those of you who are believers, how many of you are born-again believers, you love Jesus, you will miss this day, amen. You're not going to experience this. It's a promise of God. There's a lot of technical reasons why the church cannot be in the seven-year tribulation period. It's quite Jewish. It's quite technical. It's quite amazing. But we look at this tonight, and just by way of introduction, and I've got somewhat of a beefy introduction to set the stage, and then we'll get into the book, and we'll go through it rather quickly. Surprisingly, that there's the necessity and the purpose and the plan to what is called the Great Tribulation, or let me say, the tribulation period. When we talk about eschatology, the seven-year tribulation period, listen, it's the seven-year tribulation period that is forthcoming in the future. There is what is called the Great Tribulation, which is the midsection to the end. All 7 years belong to the nation of Israel, based upon Daniel chapter 9. Very specifically, it has to be that way. God's word says it's that way. And even though it is 7 years of God dealing specifically with the Jewish nation and with Jews, it envelops the entire world. Nobody escapes from this. And there will be those believers who will come to know Christ during that period of time by the ministry of at least 144,000 male, Hebrew-speaking, virgin men, 12,000 from each tribe. And they're going to proclaim the word of God with power. And the Bible tells us that so many people are converted during that period of time that John, the author of the book of Revelation, when he saw them, said that was a number too great for a human to count. That is awesome. Think of it. Probably safe to say that in the last 2,000 years, as many people have been saved, there'll probably be more people saved during the tribulation period than what have been saved in the last 2,000 years. Think of that. It's going to be absolutely awesome. And those believers, by the way, those tribulation saints, you ought to remember that. There's Old Testament saints, example, David. There's the church age saints, the church, you, us. And there's the tribulation saints. What's interesting, tribulation saints will have to die for their faith. They will die for their testimony. But as we, the church tonight, look into the future, we are going to be blown away with how New Testament like Isaiah 34 is. But listen, by necessity, what I mean by that is the Bible is going to make it very clear here that the time of man's government is going to come to an end. The tribulation period brings an end to man's attempt to govern himself. Have we not yet learned that man cannot govern himself? So there's a necessity to the tribulation period. You might say, well, why all this mayhem? Why all this trouble? Number one, to show the world and to show man that he cannot govern himself. God, without God, man is a mess. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 21, the Bible says, for then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world, Jesus said, until this time, nor ever shall be. The worst of the worst. The purpose, the seven-year tribulation period, and by the way, we need to be very careful to always keep in mind that when we're learning about the tribulation period, you can't study it without knowing that Israel is the key player in it. The purpose is God's focus upon his people. He will save a remnant of the Jewish people at that time. A remnant of the house of Israel will be saved. And then another thing to keep in mind is the plan, that God has a great plan to bring to the end man's attempt to rule, as I mentioned a moment ago. In Matthew chapter 24, I'll read verse 21 down to 22 in context again. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world, until this time nor ever shall be. Look at verse 22. And unless those days were shortened, Jesus said, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, that's Israel, those days will be shortened. The world is going to be so messed up, there's going to be so many people dying that unless Christ came back, nobody would survive. No, people would all perish. But he does come back, and we're going to be reading about that tonight. I want to show you something that's kind of cool. I don't know. I think it's cool. I'm going to show you this slide, and it may not impress you, but this is, see this barometer? This is a barometer. And you don't really care about that, do you?
Yeah, we do.
This is my barometer. I got this in London at an antique store. And it's pretty big, by the way. It's hanging in my house because I love this kind of stuff. And let's zoom in for a second. This is what's happening earlier today. Do you see right here, this is the calibrating rod right here, and you would set the scale. It's shifted. The barometer is shifted today. It started out this morning with a barometric pressure higher, and it began to lower during the day. This is, again, a barometer. It just hangs on the wall. It doesn't say anything. It doesn't speak to you. There's no high-techness to it, but it's extremely accurate. If you go back, if you're weird like I am, and you go back and look at it every so often, now look, in Southern California, we don't get, that thing doesn't move much. That's why I took a picture of it today. This is a wow photo. Why? Because the barometric pressure began to drop. Why? Because there's a storm coming. There's weather coming. And invisibly, between our eyes and my eyes and your eyes, there's a whole lot going on in the atmosphere that you cannot see with your eyes, but there are certain instruments picking up on it. Are you with me? There are certain things designed to detect change. And the Bible tells us that there's going to be a time coming, and we're already starting to see hints of it in our age, that the spiritual barometer is moving. And if you know the Bible, and if you are into the Word of God, you look at what's going on around the world, just like last Sunday in that Paris debacle, you look at that, and that's not a coincidence. Anything dealing with Israel is not a coincidence. And you look at your Bible, and the Bible, though it just, as it were, is stationary, it's always indicating change, like a barometer. And so we look at the weather and we see, you know what? It's dropping. That means you can expect wind, you can expect cloud, you can expect change. The Bible says the same thing about the days and the age in which we live in. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 1, Matthew 16, 1, Jesus said, "Then the Pharisees and the Sadducees came testing him and asked him if he would show them a sign or a miracle from heaven. And Jesus answered and said to them, 'When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening.'" I love how subtly he is. Hypocrites. "You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times." Jesus is saying, you got your barometer working, but you're missing the spiritual barometer. And if you know the Word of God, you're not going to miss the changes. You're going to track them. You're going to be aware of them. And Jesus gave an exhortation to be watchful and ready for the believers, always. In Matthew 5, 17, we'll get to Isaiah in a moment. In Matthew 5, 17, Jesus says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth passes away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." Not even a comma, and that's important for tonight, not even a comma or a hyphen in the Hebrew language will pass until all these things are completed. God's word is so true. Exhortation. I'm building a case. Listen to me. In Luke 21, verse 34, listen to this. Jesus says, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing." This is the danger of our age now. We're right down near to the end. The temptation to give up is high. Jesus says, watch out. Don't let your heart get weighed down with partying, drunkenness, the cares of this life. That'll get you. The cares of this life will strangle. He says, so that day come upon you unexpectedly. Verse 35, "For it will come upon as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth." By the way, the believer does not dwell on the face of the earth. The believer's citizenship is in heaven. Verse 36, listen to this. "Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. A promise of deliverance from these times that we're going to be looking at in Isaiah 34. One more pre-study verse. It's awesome. Revelation 3:10, Jesus speaking to the church at Philadelphia, which not only was a church there in Asia Minor, Turkey today, actual geographical place, real church, but throughout all of the ages, those seven letters to the seven churches depict the heart and the life of any era of church life, all the way down to any individual. In other words, in this building right now, there are those who are like Philadelphian believers. There are those who are like Laodicean believers. There are those in this room that are like Thyatira in your walk. You should know the personality of the seven churches. You and I want to be a Philadelphian type of believer. Not from Philadelphia, Philadelphian. In Revelation chapter 3, it's vital. Jesus said, because you have kept my command to persevere, you didn't give up. You didn't quit. I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on it. You can't get more clear than that. There's going to be a generation of believers that will be kept out of what is coming to the entire globe. Not locally, the entire globe. I submit to you this evening that that promise is none other through what is called the rapture of the church. There's no other deliverance package revealed in the scripture. There's going to be a generation of the church that is going to be removed from these perils that are going to come. So here we go in verses 1 to 17. It's really one point tonight. It's this. We're talking about God's justice comes to earth. Verse 1, come near, you nations, to hear and heed, you people. Let the earth hear and all that is in it, the world and all that comes forth from it. Verse 1, God announces, by the way, he's done this before. He did this in chapter 1. He's calling the nations and the heavens to take witness of what he's about to do. That's an amazing thing. The first time he said that, by the way, was in Isaiah chapter 1. He kind of echoed the same thing in Isaiah 1 verse 2. He says, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken, I have nourished and brought up children. He's talking about Israel in this context, chapter 1. And they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner and the donkey its crib, but Israel does not know, my people do not consider. He was rebuking them and they were taken away into judgment. Now, Isaiah 34, he's speaking to the nations of the world. He's saying, that's it. So something's happened now. He's speaking to the nations and he's saying, it's time for my justice to come. This is a big deal. Verse 2, here's how it comes together. It takes fashion. For the indignation of the Lord is against how many nations, everybody? All nations. And his fury against all their armies. What's going on? He has utterly destroyed them. He has given them over to the slaughter. There's so many times, look right there in that verse, right at the end of the word slaughter. Do you have like a comma there or a period? You want to mark that. You want to highlight that. You ought to circle it, and I'll tell you the reason why. So many times in Bible prophecy, so many times in the book of Isaiah, you must read prophecy carefully and slowly, understanding that when God speaks, there's number one, often the near fulfillment and the far fulfillment. That is, there's the fulfillment of the prophecy locally, and there's the fulfillment of that prophecy in longevity, in the long throw of it. And it can be with a colon, a semicolon, a period, a comma, a pause. And it's vital that we understand that. For example, the ministry of Jesus, I hope you appreciate this. This is kind of amazing. If you want to turn in your Bible, it's not far from where you're at. Go to Isaiah 60. Go to Isaiah chapter 60. And I'm wondering if you're going to catch on to where you've heard this before. When God speaks, now he's saying, I'm calling all the nations to justice. I'm going to call the court. I'm going to indict the nations of the world. He's going to culminate the tribulation period. But look at Isaiah 60. And I'm wondering if you're reminded of a New Testament verse. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Sound familiar, anybody? To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Look at Isaiah 60, verse 2. Isaiah 60, verse 2. The second part goes on. Notice, the day of vengeance of our God. Do you see that? 61. Sorry, 61. That was terrible. I have 60 in my notes, and it's 61. Isaiah 61, notice this. Isaiah 61, when he's announcing in the first verse, it's all good news, right? You recognize the ministry of Jesus. Look at the opening part of verse 2. You still recognize the ministry of Jesus. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. There's a comma right there. If it was in English, it's in Hebrew. There's a comma. There's a pause. Thank God there's a pause. You want to know why? The next statement in verse 2 is, and the day of the vengeance of our God. In Luke chapter 4, listen to it now. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. So he, Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. I don't want to get into the weeds on this, but it was literally the day that Jesus, the citizen of Nazareth, it was his day to read in the synagogue. The week before, it was some other guy from his town. There's no coincidence with God. The very day that a particular citizen from Nazareth, who happens to be Jesus, it's his turn to read from the appointed scripture of that day. Every synagogue in the world would be reading the same passage from Isaiah that day. And it just so happens Jesus stands up because it's his day to read it. Watch what happens. Wouldn't you love to have been there? And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written. He didn't go searching for, oh, I'm going to blow their minds. I'm going to go to Isaiah 61 and freak them out. He turned to the place where he was supposed to, because chapter 60 had been read the week before. Chapter 62 would be read next week. Are you with me?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called A Day You Will Want to Miss. Thanks for joining us today. And while we are still here on earth, let's not miss anything that Jesus might have for us. A Day You Will Want to Miss is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, we have a special offer for you. It's called All About the Future Things. It's the DVD set. In this 8-part series, you'll clearly see why you can trust the Bible as the very Word of God and what it says about future things. Why do we want to know about the future? Well, there's this thing called eternity, and the Bible tells us in detail what that's going to be like. The Bible is the best-selling, most quoted, influential book in the history of mankind, and what you believe and why you believe it is essential to your future. So head on over to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, where All About the Future Things DVD set is now available for your gift of any amount. When giving your gift, be sure to specify All About the Future Things. That's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number, if you'd like to write this down, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.